right. This is the New Glarus Brewing Podcast with Dan Carey. I am Scott May. Dan is off traveling this week doing busy brewmaster stuff, which is his habit. And we have a special guest with us. We have Jen Lukey. Jen is one of my favorite people here at the brewery for a few reasons. A, she's always fun to talk to. But B, she runs and is the team lead of our gift shops and our gift shop and our tap rooms, because we have a couple of them now here on property, and has been doing that for a very, very long time. And I'm always very interested to talk to people on sort of the customer service side of things, because, you know, back in the day, that was my gig. I was in the service industry for about a decade. So I'm always interested to get stories from that side, especially in a place like the New Glarus Brewing Company, where, you know, it's not your typical service industry job. So, Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, we met probably over 10 years ago now. You've been here for a while.
I've been here for 12 years now.
12 years. Yeah, and I think I helped out a little bit in the gift shop.
Yeah, you've helped. Around
that time. I actually had a really good time, because it did, like I said, brought me back to sort of my roots in service industry. And so my first question, I guess, is, can you tell us a little bit about how you came on 12 years ago, what you were doing before you got here to the New Glarus Brewing Company?
Sure. So I've always been in the service industry.
Okay.
I started my first restaurant job straight out of high school.
Yeah.
And previously, working at the brewery, I worked at Culver's in New Glarus for about 12 years, which I didn't mind. I mean, I loved flipping burgers. I loved working the drive-thru. It's just something I've always had in my blood.
Oh, yeah.
I had my son. Mm-hmm. And I just needed some more stability and something brighter in my future. And I applied at the brewery just on a whim, hoping I could get in. And I did my 3-day trial working right beside Deb and Emily.
Yeah.
And pouring beer, and I got in.
Isn't that amazing? Like, I think, you know, when people hear about the 3-day trials and stuff like that, or they think about Deb and Dan, you know, I think there can be this, and we've done a little bit to dispel it in talking to them here, but there can be this sort of this idea of, oh, you know, they're just off in their offices these days. But when you hear people coming up, they're like, oh, no, I was working right next to Deb.
Right. And they don't hear that side of the story. Like, they're very humble and they know everybody by name, and, you know, they'll come down and help when need be.
Oh, like, yeah.
Anytime.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Deb pouring beer. I've seen Dan pouring beer. We were at Oktoberfest a couple of years ago tapping a keg, and the lines got busy. So me and Dan would just hop back there and just pouring beer for people. And
they don't care. They actually love to do it. So,
yeah. And so you were working grill at Culver's?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm an old school grill man. I had pans, grills, and fryers. I had all three. That was my thing. Isn't it funny how when you do something like that for long enough, it just becomes so
it's
ingrained?
Natural.
Like, you probably think right now, like, if you had to, you could step on a line.
Oh, I could go back and flip a burger anytime.
Oh yeah. I'm hyper confident that I could step into a restaurant today and be like, oh no, I can handle grill.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So what was different when you first started working at the brewery as far as, you know, the customer service side of things and sort of the service industry side of things that differs from, say, a restaurant to a brewery?
So the customer service aspect at the brewery versus at restaurant, I feel, is there's more of that customer interaction.
Okay.
The customers are looking for you to have a conversation with them and get to know them and kind of explain how everything works, mm-hmm. and get to know them on a personal level.
Yeah.
I mean, at a restaurant, you're just there to take their order, make sure their meal's good, you know, and just make sure they're taken care of that way. Where at the brewery, they come in, they want to feel like they're, you know, number one. So they want to make sure that
they traveled a long way.
They did. They want to have the best experience ever. And I feel like they're coming there. You're the first person they see. You're the first person they interact with. So why not make it a special interaction?
And so, yeah. So, like, it's different because we don't have tables. We don't have a restaurant. We have just sort of, we have our gift shops and our tap rooms where people just sort of, you come in, you have to get your glass and stuff like that. So what I'm hearing is it seems like it's a little bit more laid back than, say, it would be at a restaurant. But at our busiest times, we get pretty slammed here at the brewery. How does that play out? Because I know, like, when I was in the kitchen and that ticket machine is just going off, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to sort of get into a zone to just do the thing for as long as you possibly can.
Right.
And get the lines through. How does that play out when you're on, like, a Friday in July?
I mean, you still have to get through the lines. You still have to be quick. You still don't have that personal interaction, but you can still make it fun.
Yeah.
So you can still interact with that customer and still show them a good time, but just in a very quick manner.
Yeah.
So, like, me personally, I joke around with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I smile, I interact, I play along with them, you know, and just make them laugh. And just right then and there, you know, you got them. And, you know, and they have a good time off of your first interaction.
Yeah, and what really strikes me about our brewery and our tap rooms, like, first of all, the new tap room that we built up there, new's relative, but it's probably, like, what, 2 or 3 years old now?
The one that we combined?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's one of the most gorgeous bars in the state,
so
with the green tile and the, you know, and that nice wood bar. So it seems like when people come here, they are already primed to have a good time, right?
Yes.
They're thinking this is going to be just really, really a fun time. So when I, you know, when I'm back there, like, watching you guys, it looks like you guys are all having a pretty good time too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is a fun place to work. I mean, it's a great job. I mean, all of us get along really well. I mean, and it's just the atmosphere of it. It's not like we are, you know, just going crazy and just super busy and so stressed out.
Yeah.
It's more of a laid back atmosphere. Even though we're busy, it's still a good time.
Yeah. And so when I'm thinking about, like, service industry, and I'm thinking about, like, you know, like, the tipped minimum wage and, you know, all of that stuff, it's different here though, right? Like, people are, when they sign up to pour beer at New Glarus, it's not like you're going for $2.75 plus tips, right?
No. So the brewery here, treats us very well in that mm-hmm. manner. So it's above minimum wage.
Oh, it has to be. I mean, the minimum wage in Wisconsin's like $7.25.
So starting out full time,
yeah,
is $22 an hour.
Really?
Yes. If you're full time, you get full health care. I get 6 weeks paid vacation, and we have 401k and stock in the company. And it's just, you know, a lot of people are grateful for that. I mean, I know I certainly am. And you can't find that really anyplace else.
That is absolutely amazing. And now I'm just thinking back, like, if the last kitchen I worked in, I mean, if I would have had that sort of deal, I would probably still be in a kitchen right now, to tell you, because, like, the reason I left, or the reason I moved away from cooking as a living, was like, oh, I remember going into kitchens and having kitchen managers tell me, oh, Scott, you're great, but you're capped out now. I'm like, what do you mean capped out? Like, you hit your $11 an hour, you can get no more raises. So
right.
Do we start talking healthcare? They're like, no, we don't.
Right.
You know, and that's how I feel. It's like, that's how it goes for a lot of people in the service industry. So and I'm always really intrigued when, you know, you find places like this and whatever else people have to say about Epic. Like, I've talked to a lot of people I used to cook with who went to cook at Epic just because it's like, dude, they give me a 9 to 5 and a salary and benefits.
Right. Well, it covers, I was working 12-hour days, mm-hmm. usually like 6 days a week. I had a 6-month-old kid.
Yeah.
And I was making like $9 an hour.
Yeah.
So I needed something better. And, you know, the brewery offered it to me. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. So,
and when you think about service industry, like, high turnover seems to be like the bane of the service industry, right? Like, if you're in Madison, it's like they're cycling through the new college kids every year.
Right. They're always looking for somebody.
But it seems like your guys' turnover is fairly low.
Right. We try to find college kids basically when they're right into freshman year.
Yeah.
And we usually have them right up until they graduate and find what they're looking for. To go into their field. So we usually have them for a good 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Well, so, yeah, I can see why. Like I said, like, I don't know if anywhere else you're going to find.
Yeah, kind of find that. Really, you know, that's a really good thing to have. So we don't usually lose them. You know, we usually have a good crowd for a long time.
So when you're talking to, like, I always know, like, you know, going back to my experience, like, scheduling always seemed to be like the big sticking point, right? And when you have, like, you know, 4 or 5, 6, I don't know. I actually don't know how many people you guys are rolling with in the gift shop now.
Right now?
Yeah.
For a total, we have 6 full-time and then we have 2 part-time. So just 8.
Yeah. So yeah, eight people. And if they all have varying class schedules, varying whatever schedules, as gift shop lead, do you find you run into those issues as well? Or is it more steady for you guys?
It's more steady right now.
Yeah.
In the summer, it can be kind of tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we are close on weekends,
yeah,
it makes it kind of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
I know pre-COVID, it was harder. Just because we had a lot more people and a lot more bodies to schedule. We usually had a staff of around 20 people.
Yeah.
But right now we have a staff of 8. So it makes my job a little bit easier that way.
So, and that has become a thing over like the last, three years now since COVID really kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
Over 3 is almost coming up on 4 in February.
Wow, that's a long time.
But that sort of did a huge, and I've said it before in here, like it sort of was the huge etch-a-sketch for the service industry, right? It was just like everyone's getting shaken up. Everyone's schedules are getting demolished.
Right.
And it seems like, you know, when that exodus happened, and we were able to sort of transfer people around to keep everyone sort of employed here on different teams.
Right.
But some folks, you know, might not have wanted to work moving barley or whatever it was. It's like, yeah. Well, I actually didn't sign up to brew beer. I signed up to do this.
Right.
But it seems like getting people to come back to the service industry after that has been sort of challenging. Is that one of the things that is sort of influencing the closed down weekends thing at this point, or is it something else?
It was hard. When we reopened the gift shop, it was hard to get people to apply.
Yeah.
And I think it's still hard.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have kind of closed off the service industry mm-hmm. as far as taking on that job. I think COVID had a really big impact on that, and a lot of people have steered away from that job.
Yeah.
But we're always optimistic and hopeful that it'll come back around.
I think when people left, right, and not necessarily from New Glarus, because as you said, you know, we're paying a decent wage, somewhere north of $20 an hour. There's healthcare and vesting interest in the ESOP and the benefits you'd want to come with a job that requires a lot of hard work, which is what this does.
Right.
But I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say a lot of bars and restaurants didn't do themselves any favors leading up to COVID. And when people found that they could maybe transfer their skills to something where they're not on their feet all the time, maybe they're getting paid a little bit better to work remotely or go into an office, but do clerical or whatever work. You know, it's hard to drag someone out of that for, you know, tipped minimum wage and nights and weekends, right?
It is. I mean, and those are just for full-time. I mean, even part-time, I think we start at like $17 to $18 an hour. So, I mean, that's still pretty good, I feel. And with not working weekends and only working 9 to 5.
And that's one of the things I've sort of always respected about our gift shop and about our tap rooms is you guys seem to be ahead of the curve on living wage when it comes to service. Is that something that came sort of top down from Dan and Deb, or how was that sort of explained to you when you came on?
I believe it has.
Yeah.
Came down from them. I feel, you know, that they know what it's like and, you know, they've worked hard and, you know, and I think they understand just because, you know, we're in the service industry doesn't mean that we're valued any less and we should be paid any less. You know, what we do is not maybe physical work, but it is mental work. And that takes just as much of a toll as any physical job would.
Well, and you guys are on your feet all day. You're restocking. You're
right.
Restocking
the spot.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know when I would get off the line, I mean, my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, my hips hurt. It's the whole gamut. You know, it's all work, and it's all part of this organism, right? Like mm-hmm. that needs all sort of legs to stand.
Right, like all hands on deck.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about, you know, we kind of start talking about the closed down weekends thing, which I do get people are kind of like, well, why? And I think there's like a few different reasons, but having that stability in your gift shop crew and having, you know, just the idea of like, well, how do you safely get that many people in here? When we were open on weekends, what was that rush like for you guys on like Fridays and Saturdays?
When we were open?
Yeah.
So we would do about 5,000 people.
Really?
On a Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was intense. I mean, it was fun. It made the day go by. I mean, we'd usually always have happy people. So I mean, it'd be a fun day. Not saying that it'd probably be overwhelming now. try to get our feet a little wet, but I mean, everybody would be having a good time. So I don't think we'd really have anybody be, you know, rude or unhappy. I mean, how could you be unhappy?
Well, and I think even when we were open on weekends, it's not like, and one of the things I've really also kind of respected about the way they've done their service is even when it was open on the weekends and, you know, they'll probably get back to there at some point.
Like, oh, I'm sure.
You know, it just probably will, when it works out, it will happen again, right. I would assume. But one of the things I always respected about it is there would be like, and you would think like there would be a natural temptation to be like, okay, well then we got to be open from like 10 to 9 at night. But that was never the case with New Glarus. They always had you guys on a reasonable schedule. Can you tell us a little bit about the schedule and how and why that sort of came to be the way it was?
So I know when I first started, we were only open from 10 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then over a while, we switched it from 10 to 5.
Yeah.
And then when we were open on weekends, it would be like a noon to 5 on Sundays.
Yeah.
So I know Deb really wanted us not to be open at night. Just because of the downtown area in New Glarus, she wanted people to go downtown and enjoy New Glarus.
Yeah.
And also she wanted us to be home and have time with our families at night, which is greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
Family is really important to her, and she wanted to make sure we get time with ours.
And how many times do you have somebody come up to you in the gift shop and ask where they can find the restaurant?
About 90% of the time.
90% of the time. It is anomalous. Like, you know, as the craft beer industry sort of boomed and craft breweries were getting built, like it seemed like no one didn't have a restaurant, but yet we don't. And
right.
Do people sort of understand why we don't when you explain it to them or?
Well, people, when they ask, I say, you know, the town supports us by having our beer on tap, and we want to support them by, you know, giving you this token to go downtown and grab a free beer and grab some lunch or dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we tell them that, they're like, that makes a lot of sense. So they do get it after a while.
Yeah.
So, and they think that's really cool. So.
One of my favorite things when I was working in restaurants was like, you know, there would be different days of the week where, you know, different folks were coming in. Mm-hmm. Like Sundays, the Sunday morning church crowd was always like, oh man, this is... no other way to say it, but there'd be a little bit of be some specialty orders coming through.
That's true.
You know what I mean? My wife, Kate, always told me that bikers, the motorcyclists, were always the friendliest people to come through here. And my theory was always, yeah, because they're used to being like, you know, someone looking at them be like, I don't know. So, you know,
they look scary.
Yeah, they tend to be like, you know, outwardly friendly. Do you find any groups of people that are just like, oh, I love it when these guys come through, or I love it when these folks come through?
So I have some of my favorite people that come through. And it's honestly ironic because a lot of people remember me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
you're very memorable.
I don't think so, but sure. I just had a couple people last week. They're like, oh, I remember you from last time I was here, which I've just ironic to me because half the people I don't remember. But some people I do remember, and we'll just chat and by name and stuff like that. But there's some groups you can tell who are just going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
And you can joke around with them and just have fun. She's right. The biker people, they can be the funniest group of people you're ever going to meet. And they can be the scariest looking people. But they're a hoot.
But you know, they left that day. They left their house that day saying, the worst thing that'll happen to me today is I just get to ride my motorcycle and have fun.
Well, right.
So I feel like they show up like having done the thing they love to do.
Right.
And I won't ask if there's any groups of people that you don't look forward to coming through.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Let's not go there. But there is some bar etiquette, right? Like, and I think people, when you're dealing with people in service industry, like I always tell people, if you want to get a drink at a bar, and we're a little bit different because, you know, you kind of, you get your glass and your drink tickets and you come up and there's only a couple of choices. There's like eight beers on tap at any one given time. So you're not deciding if, oh, do I want a gimlet or do I want a whatever.
Right.
But I always tell people, like, if you're like waving the money at somebody or you're yelling,
there are some
hey, I'm next.
Just people that come through.
So do you have any tips for how to not alienate yourself from your favorite bartender so you might get service at a more rapid clip?
I would just say be patient and, just be polite. You know, we're trying the best we can. And, you know, even though if we're busy, doesn't mean we're ignoring you. We're just trying to get everybody through the line.
It's like, I see you.
Yeah,
I know you're
just
there.
Just because you're being loud doesn't mean you're going to get weighed on any quicker.
Mine was always, I would always put like a $10 bill between like my two fingers. But I wouldn't wave it around or nothing. It was just the international signal of I'm looking for a drink. And then I would just lean my elbow on the bar.
That you're ready.
And just stand there. Right. Like a scarecrow, just like, I'm going to be very still. And you'll see it, and I'll see you see it, so I'll know you know.
Right.
And then you'll get over here when you can.
Right, and it's just that simple.
Well, and I think that's one of the things when you start talking about service industry and you start talking about, well, how do you get people back in to wanting to do these jobs? And I know for me personally, like, I love going out to restaurants. I love going out to bars. I love, you know, the conversations you can strike up in those environments. And I think, you know, if as consumers, we were a little bit more cognizant of how to be empathetic to the person on the other side of the bar.
That
would probably go a long way to getting people to want to do these jobs again. Cause you know, you can pay, you know, you can up the pay, which we've always done.
Right.
But you still need people who are going to be pleasant to interact with. And for the large part, I think we have those people. I'm talking more like the grand restaurant service kind of thing.
Right. I think people need to realize and be put in their shoes.
Yeah.
And to know, you know, it's not always easy, but, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying and we're trying to make the best experience and, you know, just roll with it.
Just, you're going to get your drink. You're going to get your beer. You're going to try them all if you want. Just
give us a sec.
Just roll with it. And you took all the time to drive out here. So enjoy the space.
Right. Enjoy the view. Enjoy the crowd. And, you know, just have fun. I mean, you're here to have fun. There's no reason to be, you know, crabby
about it. Yeah. So what does an average sort of week look like for you guys in the gift shop? Like, does it sort of follow the normal sort of restaurant flow of like Monday's going to be a little bit mellower, by Wednesday you're starting to ramp up, and then by Friday you're kind of in the middle of it and your busiest thing? Or is it because of the shift of no weekends that the week is just more stabilized?
Well, it depends on the year.
Gotcha.
So like right now it's kind of a slow time.
Yeah.
So I would say peaks are like, I'd say April, May, June, July, August, September, October mm-hmm. would be our peaks. And then once November kind of hits, it kind of slows down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was usually Mondays are busy and then Tuesday, Wednesdays are kind of average.
Gotcha.
And then Thursday, Fridays would probably be busy. So.
Wow. And what's really funny with the way this fall has gone, how we've gotten a couple cold days, like truly 35, 38 degrees, but mostly it's been like
it's kind of mild.
Yeah. Mid 40s, mid 50s. Like right now, from my mentality and the way I like to be out in the world, I'd be like, I'd go now. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'd have the place kind of to myself. I'd get to check it out.
Well, that's what I kind of tell people. Like, you know, this is a good time to come. You're not, you know, it's not busy. You can enjoy it a lot more. I mean, without being crowded.
Yeah. Like, and you can get the good table in the courtyard.
Right. I mean, and you can go back and talk to people on tour. Like, you can try to enjoy every little nook and cranny you possibly can.
That's always the funniest thing to me is like, if you can go off peak to anywhere,
right?
Because you're
going to get the best experience possible.
Yeah. And even if you're just like, even if you're traveling to like, you know, another state or a tourist destination, it's like, you're going to probably get a little bit more of the local flavor.
Right. You want to go off season.
Yeah. If you go off season, you can ask like, where would you go? And they will tell you, instead of just going like, this is the answer I have memorized and I need to get you over there now. So when we talk about the tap lines, you know, one of the things that comes up a little bit is, you know, people sometimes say, well, why aren't there like, you know, one-off beers and stuff like that on the tap lines? And I've talked a little bit about to Dan about that. Is there a stability issue for you guys of just knowing what's going to be going on and knowing what you're going to have for that day? Or is there logistics involved for you guys and what's on the taps and how that goes?
So it usually depends on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually go through our sales guys.
Yeah.
of what's going on. So like right now, our seasonal beers would be like Fat Squirrel and Oofta.
Yep.
And then we kind of switch out our fruit beers based on what's available.
Okay.
But normally we always have the year round, which would be Spotted Cow, Two Women, and Moo Man on tap always.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so usually we just go through Dennis for that one.
Yeah. One of my favorite times in the brewery, in around like sort of the tap rooms and the gift shop were always R&D special releases. Cause, you know, going back to like 2014, 2015, somewhere there, like probably Wild Peach was my first time sitting in the line. And I remember I was like all the way down, halfway down the hill in the line. And I just love seeing how you guys worked those events because it, you know, you would look at it and it would be just, there would be a line of people down the hill almost to the water treatment plant.
Yeah, I remember those.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, how are they going to organize this in a way to where people aren't getting double allotments? People aren't, because it's like, how do you keep track of all of that when you know there's going to be people who are like, ah, I'm going to try to get more than my share or whatever. How was working those events for you?
Stressful. I think I put a lot of stress on myself with those. I'm a really high achiever, so I didn't want to mess anything up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that stress just came from being me.
Yeah.
So I liked it because I love seeing the big crowds.
Yeah.
It was always cool to look out the window and see all the people that were just waiting for them to get the beer. I usually always had it planned the week prior to who was going to be where and what was doing what. And we always have bands ready to put on people, markers, tickets, and who was going to do what. And then scanning IDs. I mean, we just were always prepared the week prior of it.
Yeah.
Just to make sure it went as smoothly as possible. And sometimes people did get double. I mean, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. You're somebody's grandma. Did you really come out for this? Did you really come drive off of this for you? No, that's perfectly fine. You brought your grandma to get her allotment too. That's great.
And we used to have people change their shirts in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, and then, but I always liked the way you guys did it. Like in those first few years, it was wristbands and stuff like that. And then you guys got fancy like ID scanners to basically be like, we're going to deal with that. When you guys changed that over, were people like, oh, okay, they've sort of cracked the code here, or how did that go over?
It actually didn't go over too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, people were understanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, we have to do this now.
Right. I mean, there's only so much, and you got to be fair to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's beer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be that, you know, tricky about it, I mean, just come back the next day.
Just come back tomorrow.
It's not that big of a deal.
I swear we will have forgotten by then.
Right. So, but everybody was pretty much understanding. So,
and it was really funny because I sat in probably like four or five lines, you know, throughout two or three years, because they'd do two or three a year. And then I remember the first one I worked, and I was going through giving wristbands and checking IDs and stuff like that. And God bless those folks at the front of the line, because they wanted to put the world's strongest beers in your hand at like 8:45 in the morning. It was wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. And I absolutely enjoyed it because I was like, I'll try that.
Well, why not?
I'll give that a shot.
I mean, I think we've also had like donuts down there too. It's just a fun time.
It is. It is a really, really good time. And I do like the way that the specialty releases are going now. I kind of feel like for you guys, the system that's kind of going on now and the way it's sort of spread out throughout the week,
right,
that it makes it a little like they're still busy, but the busyness is spread out.
Right. It's not just one big rush.
That and like it seems like part of the motivation there was to also make some of the beer last beyond the release weekend, which seems counterintuitive, right? Because you want to say like, oh, we sold out in 2 seconds. But having it sort of be there for people to discover too seemed important to you guys.
Well, right. We still want people to come because not everybody can get there in those 2 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are traveling quite far to find this beer and, you know, they come all this way and then have it not be there. They're really disappointed.
Yeah.
So, and for them to come here and travel there and get this beer, they're going to browse that depot, mm-hmm, and find other things that they're going to want to take home with them.
Yeah, and they might just discover vintage 22 or whatever.
Right.
And just seeing there, maybe they've never had a Guza before. Right. And they're like, hey, what's this? It's like, well, that's our R&D specialty release this year. And
right, so they'll come and leave with more.
And you know, that's one of the things I always love talking to team members about. And you're on sort of the front lines of it, you know, because, you know, you wear the work shirt or whatever out and people love talking about the brewery. What do you find when people come in and you're like so visibly working for the brewery and like, and you're the person handing them their beer? Like, are they automatically becoming like your best friend in that moment?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get disappointed that they don't have the beer they really want.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also tell them, you know, we make a lot of beer a year and, you know, hopefully next year it'll be here, or, you know, just call and ask, or, you know, we do a beer vote. So, oh, yeah. You know, make sure to vote when it comes out. And, but yeah, a lot of people from Illinois say they just love us. So.
Well, as a person originally from Illinois, I can attest to that. I think I had my first Spotted Cow like the day I got to Wisconsin. I think it was like the first day I was here, I had a Spotted Cow.
You were hot.
Yeah. Well, I suppose so. Back then I was just thinking, this is a cold beer and someone has handed it to me.
Let's drink it.
That person is my friend. But, you know, you probably do get questions that, you know, people will expect you to answer. And you want to say, like, how would you reasonably expect me to have that answer? Like, why didn't you make this beer this year? Does that sort of stuff crop up for you? Or
Yeah, people ask about certain beers, or how come we didn't make this, or when is this coming out? And we just say, you know, we have a lot of beers that we can choose from. And, you know, not everyone can get made.
Yeah, you can't brew everything all the time.
Right. I mean, we have what? We make 23 beer. Do we make 23 beers a year?
Yeah, something like that. This year was crazy.
And like, we try to make new beers every year. So, I mean, we can't make everything that we want to.
Yeah. I mean, we were just talking, you know, before this about Moon Man and, you know, kind of just talking about how, you know, this is a perennial beer of ours that's been around for forever. It's like, right. You know, probably the number one hoppy beer in the state. And it's like, this is just the stuff that's always going on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people like, somebody just asked for one the other day. It was pumpkin pie lust.
Wow.
It's like, we haven't made that in I don't know how many years.
Yeah, I think it got like two brewings. The first year and then the second year. I absolutely loved that beer because I've tried a lot of pumpkin spice beers, pumpkin pie beers, because, you know, it's fall. It just, you know, someone's going to hand you one, right? Like you're going to go to a gathering and they're like, oh yeah, we got this. And for me, they always tasted like they were intentionally
a lot of cinnamon.
Yeah. Like very intentional spice, right? Very intentional. Like I'm going, but New Glarus's was so subtle. I was like, this is actually a pumpkin beer. I really enjoyed. So, you know, I can understand why it didn't catch on the way, you know,
the other ones did. Yeah.
Well, not even the other ones, but just like within the portfolio itself. But it is one I'd be like, man, if they brought that back as a one-off one year, okay. I would definitely drink that.
Yeah.
It's such a good beer.
So a lot of people, even like the older ones, they're like, somebody asked for Hopster and it's just like, or Laughing
Hopster.
Fox,
Hopster was really good.
So it's just like a lot of people remember all the older beers.
Yeah.
So.
And what's really funny when you talk to Dan and Deb about those beers and, Deb, like I was in here with Deb and she was like, yeah, Laughing Fox is one of my favorite beers, one of my favorite styles of beer. And she's not brewing it. You know what I mean? So it's just, it is the sort of, they live that ethos of like, we're going to let the customers pull us in the direction they want us to go.
That's cool. I like that. So
we've talked, you know, we've talked about sort of the nuts and bolts of what serving beer is like here. As far as like the gift shop stuff goes, we have some stuff you can buy online, not a whole lot.
Right.
And I've heard Deb talk about this in the sense like, you know, I think her view is she wants people to come here and get the things. Now, when people come in and look at our gift shop, are they sort of surprised at how much merchandise we actually have here for sale?
Yeah. I just had a lady today say, you know, you have a lot of stuff here. Well, yeah, we do. And we limit to the online store just for that reason, because we want people to come here and we want people to experience it.
Yeah.
And we want people to come here and browse and, you know, support us and, you know, buy our stuff and, you know, support us wherever they are living. But yeah, I mean, I think I think we have a great variety in our store.
Oh, and I absolutely love, you know, you guys do a really good job about sourcing really nice button up shirts. Like, I'm a big fan of a button up, like, collared work shirt kind of deal.
And like the brand shirt we're carrying right now.
Yeah. And the ones you guys like, it seems like, and I don't know if this is born of Deb or how you guys source things, but it seems like you guys put a premium on getting quality stuff. So it's not just like, you know, the t-shirts feel nice. The shirts feel nice. The track jackets feel nice. Like, all of it feels well constructed. Is that something you guys take on getting samples, or how's that work?
Yep. So we come up with samples and we go run them by Deb first. So it's a team.
Gotcha.
Then Deb makes a decision on, you know, what she likes or if she wants to change something. And then she'll see if she likes it. And then we go and order it.
Yeah, I was looking down there right now, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I need to come in here and get some new, like, get a new stocking cap.
We have a new bomber jacket.
You have a new bomber jacket?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Came in yesterday.
I'm going to earn me some cow bucks. one of the benefits around here that people might not know about is if you... I don't trigger it very often. Usually it's just my birthday, but apparently if you do good things, you get cowbucks.
Or if you work hard, we give cowbucks. So it's simply like cash for the gift shop.
Yeah.
Or for the depot. You can get like a $5 bill or a $10 bill, and you can redeem them for merchandise or snacks or beer.
I'm gonna have to step up my game to earn some cowbucks for that bomber jacket. I think I get the $10 on my birthday, and then that's my cowbucks for the year.
You're gonna have to do some more, Scott.
Well, I keep myself hidden away. It's my own fault.
You have to show your pretty face.
One of the things I love talking to team members about when I get in here is the kind of beer they like to drink, or what they like to drink when they go out. So I know we're deep in the fall, but what are you trying to get into your glass these days?
My favorite beer from us is Two Women.
Two Women? Oh, God, I love that beer.
It's just a classic beer. It's easy to drink. I love the malt taste to it, sweet notes to it.
And it's got some body to it.
It does.
It feels like you're drinking a beer.
But it's not heavy.
No.
By any means.
But no.
That's just my go-to classic beer.
Yeah, it's like Two Women to me is a perfect lager, you know, a perfect sort of darker lager beer. And the way I would describe it to people is like, this isn't the beer your dad would drink. This seems like the beer your dad's German dad would drink. You know what I mean?
God, that's a good one.
You know, this is like what your German grandpa would drink.
Right.
And I absolutely love that flavor profile of Two Women. And I think it's chronically just a slept on beer. Like, I think the people who really appreciate Two Women really do. And that's kept it as our third, like, it slept on it, and it's our third largest beer, right. largest beer, but it doesn't get, and this is my soapbox. It doesn't get the love it deserves. It really deserves the love. So yeah, drink some Two Women and understand what I'm talking about right now. I haven't been drinking a lot lately. And so what it ends up happening is then I'll go, I want to have a beer. And then I was looking at my fridge and see what's there. And I pulled out, I had a Scotch ale, and it was really, really good. And then I was like, oh, man, I think I'm in the mood for another beer. You know, I was just like reading a book. I had a fire going. So I pulled out a Scream, and I had a Scream back to back with the Scotch ale. And I'm just sitting in my chair, like in my little bark lounger, looking at a fire. And then all of a sudden I go, all right, I think I've had enough beer. That was good. That was enough beer. I'm glad I'm at home. I'm feeling very good. we're doing good
tonight.
But those
are both good beers too.
They're both very, very good beers.
They'll creep up on you though.
They will. And especially that's the Scotch. The thing that's very interesting to me about the Scotch ale is, you know, it tastes like a heavy beer. It tastes like you're drinking, you know, a good higher alcohol ABV beer, but definitely doesn't taste like it's creeping towards 10%.
Right.
And then when it warms up a little bit, it really doesn't taste like it's creeping
towards.
Right.
It's so easy to drink.
So easy to drink.
Which is very good at a certain level.
Always be mindful of where you are at in your journey for the evening. So as we're sort of running up against it here, is there anything that you wanted to bring up regarding the gift shop and the tap rooms that you think people maybe don't know about our story, or You know, when you first got started 13 years ago, where were they serving beer out of?
So we actually served beer out of the old gift shop.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people know where that is now, but it's when you, I don't know how to describe it. It's where the movie room is.
Yeah, right? Where the movie room is now.
So that used to be our gift shop and our tap room during the week. And then our bigger tap room where it is now would just be open on Fridays.
Yeah. And then in the summer, you guys are pouring in the ruins. You're pouring out of the tap rooms.
Yeah, so everything would be done outside in the summer.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the summer, now we're open a couple places outside, but mostly inside.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I just love drinking beer in those ruins. Like, sitting out looking at those green hills is honestly my favorite.
It's such a view.
Oh my God. It's my favorite spot ever to have a beer. So come down here and visit Jen and grab a two women and
have fun.
And the weather's still nice and it's not that busy yet. Right now. And you'll have a good time. Snow. Jen, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
I'll let you get back to wrangling the gift shop.
Sounds great.